while we are busy this morning, we just had all kinds of things happening and excitement, and I really want to thank the crew up there that got us the projection going and got a good worship. I specifically wanted that projector to work because today I will be asking you to consider, why on earth am I in church on Sunday morning? You got up early in the morning, got yourself ready. By the way, I watched a YouTube thing on getting ready for church, and I thought it's going to really touch on the spiritual preparation. And I watched this one girl that put a makeup on in a fast-forward motion through that YouTube thing, and it was 10 minutes long. I'm sure it took 30 minutes to show the fast-forward thing, you know. And I thought, boy, somewhere there has to be a spiritual meaning behind that. And I watched, and there wasn't a single thing other than she got real pretty by the time she was ready for church. Okay? So I want to throw this out there for you. Why did you get up this morning and came to church? Penny, could you help us answer the question?
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
It's funny, but you know what? We find humor in things that fall close to life, to real life experience. So, this morning I thought it might serve us well if within the overall series that I have started, whose mission is it anyway? Do you remember we talked about that and we started with the Abraham commissioning? And we talked about Abraham was called as he was blessed to become a blessing to others. I thought, really, we need to tackle something very significant, foundational, profound, important, yet very simplistic. And I couldn't continue with the rest of the series before we settle the answer to the question, why on earth am I in church on Sunday morning? And the question presupposes that we're going to come up with an answer at the end. And that the question really carries a double meaning. Why, while on earth, I find myself in church in a particular day, dedicated. And in North America, it happens to be most often on Sunday morning. Do you know that in the current culture, only 40% of all Americans go to church? And only 20% of all Americans show up on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. Out of those 20% that bother to show up every Sunday morning, most of them choose a place that they want to belong to on the basis of worship style and children's ministry. Nothing wrong in that. It's just that really the word has no place in the choices we make. Very interesting, very interesting. Hey, by the way, I really appreciate the diversity of worship styles we carry in this particular gathering. Do you appreciate that? I really do. And I appreciate the fact that we can enter into the presence of God and enjoy it as we like it, okay? And then we have three or four leaders that lead us. And so we get some diversity every Sunday. But we, in general, we have gathered a group of people that are like-minded in the ways we like our worship to sound. And we absolutely like the fact that our kids are taken care of. I have heard more parents that would come back into the church because now they have grown up kids. The kids are beginning to ask questions and they were not equipped to answer, so they brought them to church. And they're looking for a children's church that can do that. And all of those things are absolutely wonderful reasons. But I want to go way deeper than that. And want to ask you, obviously, a very select, particular, worthy of admiration group of Americans who got up on Sunday morning, part of those 20%, and went to church. And I want to ask you why. What is your reason? And I hope at the end we may overlap with the reason we're going to find in Scripture. Because a lot of things that we do culturally conditioned doesn't necessarily overlap with the purposes of the Word of God. We just do because our culture dictates and asks of us to do that. But can we find an answer? Why did the Lord find himself in gatherings similar to this one? And what did they do in gatherings like that? I would like to read, if you have Bibles or iPhones, anything like that, smartphones that you can pull scripture on, you can go ahead and do that. I'd like to read John 15, 5 to 10. And I will use this text and another one to point to the truth, what I believe would develop to be the answer to a question. And I really would like for you to track the thought and reason with me and make sure that the answer I'm coming up is really a biblical truth that you will discover together with me. And if you discover it with me, then you're going to have some responsibility to the truth. So let's read with me. And by with me, I mean you silently, me out loud, okay? So this is what John, and this is an NIV, but if you have the message, you can also, you know, do that. I really wanted somehow this whole scripture to begin to sink in and make sense to us. This is what Jesus said to his disciples, basically to those that are gathered around him, and he's delivering a word to them, and it's in the now. The word was a rhema word, what we would call, okay, the word in the now for them to understand. That's what he said. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he, that man, will bear much fruit. Now, apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you truly bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. But now this is the condition. He's saying, now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So I brought to you a picture of a vine that actually has some grapes hanging off of it. So you can visualize what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about a vine, you know, a living thing that they were very familiar with. It's a region that grew grapes. And they knew what the vine looked like. It had a root system that came from the ground. And as that vine matured, it began to branch out. And there were lots of branches hanging out there. But people, as they would approach the vine, would look for the fruit that the vine produced. Otherwise, they were not interested in it. Okay? So Jesus takes a very visual object lesson from an everyday experience, and he talks to them about a reality that they knew daily. A lot of them had their own vines in their backyards. And as they would expect the vine that had matured now and grown and was expected to give fruit, some of the branches were hanging out there taking space, but they really didn't produce any fruit. So what the gardener did, and I brought a picture like that as well, what the gardener did is he went around, looked at the branches, which ones are fruitful and which ones are not, and the ones that were drying up, that did not bear any fruit, were cut off and thrown away and gathered just like that and ready to be burned. And that's what he was talking about, okay? And then there were branches that as the gardener went around, saw lots of fruit on them and picked the grape clusters and blessed the gardener and blessed many others. And also, those grapes contained a reproduction system in themselves. They had seeds, and out of the seeds, new vines were able to propagate. They carried life in them. Now, what Jesus was giving them as an example, I don't know why that microphone is going. Okay, it's my ear. Sorry. See, I got myself pretty this morning. Didn't take 30 minutes, but... Thank you. Oh, well, you're going to look at me unbalanced. Okay, I'll know next time. So here it is. So Jesus is saying, look at me, I'm the vine. I'm that root system that provides a life-giving nourishment to both types of branches that you're observing in real life. Okay. Now, part of the branches choose to dry up, to not bear any fruit, and the other part of the branches bear fruit. Now, it's very interesting that a life-giving source that comes out of the root system itself cannot penetrate in some of the part of the vine, and then some of the other vine is very accessible. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning and see how are we going to connect that to our church attendance on Sunday morning. All right? So let's look at the dry branches and see what characteristics they carry. And again, I really want to challenge you here. Stay with me. Don't wander off somewhere. And talk back to me in your minds, okay? Just engage me. Humor me and engage me in discussion within yourself, okay? See if I make any sense of what I'm saying. And try to find yourself, locate yourself on that vine. Try to figure out which type of branch you are. So the dry branches, what is their characteristic? Now, the dry branches were full of life-giving DNA information. That, to me, as I looked into the scripture, was just a source of excitement wanting to praise and shout, and at the same time, a source of solemn recognition that we have great responsibility over what the Lord has given in our possession, in what touches our lives. What touched the life of the dried branch was the same life-giving DNA. It was a life-giving information that attempted to flow through the branch, but unfortunately, it did not produce the result of a fruit-bearing. The reason why is because the dry branch lacked the fruit-producing application. And this is my thesis this morning. I want you all to walk away with this, and I'll repeat it throughout. Information does not equate application. Our engagement with God and the Word of God is not for education purposes, but is for transformation purposes. And information will never change lives until it becomes application in your life. So you'll hear me repeat that over and over. So please don't get offended that I will repeat it. This is the one-liner that I want all of us to walk away with. Information doesn't produce application automatically. And we are not after information, we're after application. And we'll see how we can get there. That's why I'm saying, stay with me, let's reason together, and let's make sure that we are grasping the significance of the life-giving DNA information that touches your lives on a Sunday morning as the Word of God is being opened and read and being offered to us for nourishment. Does that nourishment become an application in our lives? Is the challenge this morning. So the dry branch had everything available to produce life except for the pursuit of application. And this is what that scripture in John that I read to you says in verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. So we get that about the dry branch. But who are the ones that do not remain in the vine? This is those ones who do not obey the commands and do not remain in the love of Jesus Christ. Now, the difference between the dry branch to the ones that are alive is simplistic. On the surface, they look the same. They come out of the same place. By the way, they become withered, dried branches, just because the gardener really cuts them off. But what happens before he makes the decision to cut them off is they just do not bear fruit, but they have all of that lush greenery around them. They have the appearance of being alive, but unfortunately, they're not fruit-bearing. They do not allow the life-giving information that reaches them to penetrate and to be intentionally used for fruit production. This is called application. This is called obedience to the commands of the Word of God. That is what makes the difference between the live and the dried up, the withered branches. In appearance, they look similar. In appearance, they make it to church if they're part of the 40%, or they might even make it to church if they're part of the 20%, but they're looking for the me church. Bless me, 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 God. And they forget that the reason for bless me is to be a blessing. And this is not just a 21st century requirement. As we went through scripture, we saw that that requirement of being a blessing to others extends from the very beginning of the Old Testament. right back to Abraham, who is the father of all the spirits that obey and commit themselves to God, the one Father, and to the Messiah that was promised to come out of Abraham's seed. The purpose for the people of God that were formed from the posterity of Abraham, the purpose for that people of God was to become a blessing among all nations. I'm not just talking in some ethereal, some abstract sense of the word. I'm talking about a very real, everyday application of the word of God. Because we get here on Sunday morning, and the word of God that begins to penetrate into our hearts, first of all through worship, and then any other scripture that is being shared, and then the word of God that is being presented, is given to all of us, including all the speakers or all different spiritual leaders that you're going to see in this place. We all fall under the same category, that we may only allow the life-giving information to touch us, but not to take it a step further and to apply it in real life. And fruit-bearing results only from application and definitely not from information. So again, I'm asking, why on earth am I in church on Sunday morning? As I'm putting it up there, I hope that as we go, right there. As you're reading the question, you're going to ask yourself again as we go through the snippets of reasoning together that maybe you will begin to answer yourself. Just begin to look into yourself with seriousness. Is it that you're here because you desire to learn incarnational Christianity? Because hearing the word is not like really listening to the word. You know, the word can just, you know, buzz right by you, and you hear the noise. You even make out the words, and they may even register in your brain for the next 2 minutes. And by the time you're walking out the door, there is no registry in your heart. There is no purposeful intent to apply the information you just gathered this morning from the Word. And by the time you're off the parking lot, most of us have forgotten what the Word is about. And there is no lasting impression. So the information that touched our ears didn't really produce purposeful listening to the truth of God. It only produced a hearing of sounds, of some information that really didn't penetrate deep beyond the surface. You know what Jesus talked about such audience? He said that some of his audiences actually had deaf ears, because they were hearing but not able to listen to what is being said. And so he said that a lot of what he was relating to them truly was falling on deaf ear. There was no application of the truth that he was giving to them. Now, wouldn't you say that you wish to have been in the presence of the Almighty God, who humbled himself in such a manner that he came in a human flesh and he stood in first century, walked the earth, the geographic earth, in a historical and geographic location? Wouldn't you desire to be part of the crowd that was there listening to his words? And I'm sure most of us will say, oh, by all means, I really want to be there. If I just was there, what a transformational experience that would be. But let me tell you, 21st century, the Word of God is being just is strongly delivered through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it comes in our midst to tickle our ears. And then Jesus observes, how many of us have the capacity to listen? And he's observing if our ears are actually open or things fall on deaf ear. And by the time we walk out of here, we forget the information. And unfortunately, that's what it becomes, only information. It never gets into application because we did not purposefully engage the word. And I, you know, I'll give you several things to get you out of the guilt that you might be feeling right about now. I get it that when a speaker speaks more than 10, 15 minutes, I lose you. And I'm one of those that actually look at you and look at your faces, and a lot of you are really engaging me, okay? I see your eyes, and you're actually nodding, but I'm pretty sure that some of you, as you're nodding, you have no clue what I just said. Not because you don't understand what I said, it's just you didn't even hear what I said. Because I get it. It's hard to retain when somebody just go lecture style. I get that. I get it. We're in a sort of environment that we're used to kind of deliver the word of God this way. That's why I'm at least encouraging you to engage me silently, okay? As I'm talking to you, at least think on the things I say and put them in some compartments that you're shaping for yourself. Somewhere in your mind, you know, just put, okay, application box, application box, application box. Oh, go there, go there, go there. Yeah, that really hit my life. Aha, I can really store that there for future application. Do that. Do that with the Word of God, because we have the responsibility, regardless of the method that we kind of deliver that word. I probably 5 minutes is much better. I already told you what I wanted to tell you. Information is not application, so hopefully you're going to remember that. But I really want to get you somewhere through the Word of God to reason with me and to think through the Word of God to get to the same conclusion as I have. Because I don't want you to believe me because I'm in a position to stand in front of you and deliver a message. I want you to believe the truth of God, because you only have the responsibility to the truth of God. But when you understand the truth of God, your responsibility is to submit all of you to all of Him without reservation. So you can very easily brush me off and send me somewhere on some shelf that you're never going to retrieve back. But if you really connect with the truth of the Word of God, then you cannot brush it off. You have a responsibility to take it from information to true application in your life. And I'm getting there where I want to tell you how to apply the truth of God in your life. It's all about intentionally uniting the Sunday information to Monday application. We have began to look at our spiritual environment, at our faith life, almost as a separate compartment from anything else. And part of that is because culture dictates that. We live in a postmodern society where people are very comfortable to express different faith beliefs, but at the same time, they don't want us to come in their face with our belief systems. And so we kind of had drifted from, oh, my faith is in all of life, to actually relegating faith on Sunday morning and faith expressions on Sunday morning. And then the rest of life, we kind of live alone and do pretty much as others do. And again, I'm just asking you, engage me now. Am I talking the truth here, or maybe it looks totally different for you? So to live incarnational Christianity, if we see that God is in all of life, then we will be transferring the Sunday information into a Monday application. And I want to go down to the next slide. My attempts to do a visual here for you. I'm arguing for bridging the secular and sacred divide. I'm arguing that as I read the scripture in John 15, where he's talking about that he's the vine and we are all the branches, and some of us to whom he's talking and we have been part of that vine are actually dry, withered branches, okay? And some are alive branches. So as I read that, this is what jumps visually to me. Those that are dried up, withered branches, are those branches that have allowed the life-giving information from the Word of God to reach to their locale, to them, okay? And they hear it over and over and over and over in the church circle experience on Sunday morning, but they never walk the bridge to Monday morning experience in the family, in school, at work. And look at those three sectors as really, I'm trying to encompass all of life through those. And if you can think of more, by all means, I just couldn't put them all on my slide. But I'm talking about living from here and walking out there, that we take all of the information of the Word of God, and now from information it becomes a transformational truth to which you and I have submitted our human personal will to the Father's will. We have taken Him seriously to what we understood that the Bible says, that His Word says, by the way, in the 66 books written in the Bible, and also the Word that comes currently to you from God. And we obey it. We apply it in our own Monday to Saturday existence. And we come back again on Sunday to be stirred towards good deeds that the Lord has prepared for us to do from the beginning of times. We get together in a corporate expression of our faith so the Lord can infuse more into us. But why would He infuse more if we do nothing with the one He already had given us? So we carry a very serious responsibility that as God provides His life-giving DNA information for us to seriously take Him upon that and apply it into a fruit-bearing pursuit. Okay? When a plant gears up for fruit-bearing, it puts all of its energy into the production of the fruit. Nothing else goes on. It doesn't build root system at that time. It doesn't build big, showy leaves. When fruit is in formation for that plant, the plant goes with everything after the fruit production. All of the juices that flow from the root system into the plant go into the fruit formation. Nothing else is directed in anything else. The plant isn't saying, I want to get prettier by adding a few more leaves. I want to get prettier by adding more height to myself. I want to get prettier by adding some thorns for protection. That is not the point. When a plant begins the fruit production, the plant is purposeful and it goes to application of the life-giving DNA information that flows through it. This is what Jesus was telling His disciples to grasp. That as His word is being delivered, then they better listen, not just hear it, and make it happen. Obey it. Or they cannot remain in the vine. The gardener would go around and would see the branches that are not fruit-bearing, will snip them off, and they will wither, and they will be thrown away. We cannot. We are not allowed the luxury to handle the Word of God without the responsibility to apply the Word of God. James puts it this way. James chapter 1, 22 to 25. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So James actually talks about two types of memory that we possess, just like Jesus was talking about two types of branches, okay? The earrings didn't really do much damage, but I did this, and I thought, I just took the earrings out, and I forgot what I looked like, so I have to do this, and then you forget what you look like. James says this. If you're only looking at the Word of God, you know, going and just hearing and not doing anything with it, you're kind of like a person that grabs a mirror, looks at himself. By the way, if you have a mirror in the purse, you know, feel free to get it out and see how true that experiment is. Okay? You look at yourself like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I didn't see that other thing. Let me just look at myself again. Forgot that one. Let me look at myself again. And so we do that all the time. But as we glance at the image in the mirror, our memory of it is fleeting. It's short. We don't do this. Oh, my. Crow feet. Wrinkle things, and it'll show it. Okay, I need to go to the mall and get the most expensive plumping wrinkle filler thing, you know, that I can find. And sunspots. Next time I'm outside, I really need to go with the sunscreen or wear a hat. Oh, this just, you know, more gel this morning. I didn't put enough and it's sticking everywhere. No, we don't do that. When you look at the mirror, you just do a quick this and then you really forget what your image looked like. And you do that again. It's like, oh, yeah, hello, peekaboo. Ah, I don't remember that. But we feel okay that we do that with the Word of God. That we have a very short mirror memory. James says, if you just do with the Word of God as you treat the mirror, you have a mirror memory, which is short-term and has no impact in life. But if you have a lifestyle memory, then you're not going to be after information only, a quick information that you're going to forget immediately. You will be after application, and that application would bring fruit, and it would be life-giving. So I just want to ask you this morning, why on earth are you in church on Sunday morning? I want to go to the last slide and make a couple of statements. A mature Christian is not the one who knows the most, but it is the one who obeys the truth that he or she knows. Is that a fair statement? Okay, all right, okay. I know that we strive towards maturity in the Christian walk that we have. It's really all of us. I promise you, there are no more people that I can take off. Okay. All right. I'm going to sit right here and not move. But I truly, truly want you now to engage me. I'm done. I'm finished. But I really, want you to come away with your personal answer to the question, why on earth has God placed you in church on Sunday mornings? Because you're here for a reason. We live life regardless of the fact if we live it intentionally or not. We bear the consequences. And the consequences of our life with Christ, depending on how we engaged Him, His Word, and our responsibility that we carry through life, is a result of either a withered branch that needs to be cut off because it doesn't bear fruit, or it's a branch that's just heavy of fruit clusters of grapes that also can reproduce themselves because they carry the seed of the life of God in them. So regardless of the fact, if you want to be honest with yourself and answer the question that I keep asking you, why on earth are you... Because they brought some words that were very pertinent to finish this message here. Michael, can I have you at the... Thank you. As you are answering the question for yourself, why do you bother to get up on Sunday mornings and come in a setting where you would be faced with the truth of the Word of God? My question to you is it because... as you are faced with God's truth and you're convinced that it is the truth of the Word of God, because you only have an obligation to the Word of God, not to men, not to women. By men, I didn't mean gender, but I thought I'd make it a little bit plainer, okay? Our obligation is not to a human, but it's to the divine, okay? But when we are faced with the truth of God, do you come here that you can look at it intently, not forgetting it as a fleeting image in a mirror, not just as information that had come to you and carries a DNA that can produce life, but you would just relegate it to some other branches because you're not interested? But are you here this morning, and do you go through the trouble every morning on Sunday morning to get yourself up out of bed, get up early, and come to a setting where you will experience the presence of God, where you will hear the truth of the Word of God? And I'm asking you then, if that is what you have experienced, are you ready to submit all of you to all of Him? And in what He is now giving you as clarity in your life, as truth, are you ready to allow that truth to become a transformation and not just a simple information? And if that is the case, I will open those altars for us to make a very serious dedication to the Lord that we will not waste one more Word of God that's going to be spoken and that's going to come to our hearts, knocking on our door, because this is what Jesus says, and I'm standing outside of your door, of the heart, of the human heart, and He's talking to people that know Him, okay? I'm knocking on that door, and if you hear my voice, and if you open and invite me, then I can come and dine with you. So I'm asking you, are you inviting Jesus Christ to walk from the Sunday information that you got into a Monday application and throughout the week? Are you inviting Jesus Christ to come with you and bridge the divide between secular and sacred, between the church compartment and your work compartment and your school compartment and your family compartment? Are you inviting the truth of Jesus to take precedence of your life? Are you submitting all of you to all of Him? I thought that the word that Louise brought to me, there were several words, Louise, you can come to the front, really go along with what I have just shared with you. We have now learned so much, and so much information have been carried in our hearts, and it's about time, and this season is really pregnant with opportunities to begin to practice the information into actual application outside of the church walls, and to see the transformation of lives happening among us. So hear those prophetic words that are coming, and please respond to them as they invite you to come to the altar.
This morning I saw a bluebird and some vultures and an eagle. And as I pondered that picture, I sense the Lord was saying that some here think of themselves as sweet little bluebirds or chickadees or a robin. But when the vultures surround you, you actually have the ability in the spirit to rise up and soar like eagles. And you have the vision of an eagle to see from a different perspective. And you have talons that can conquer and carry away prey victoriously. Because he transforms us and prepares us for battle.
I saw a picture of a skateboard, and it was laying upside down so that the wheels could be changed. And as I watched, two things happened. The first thing was that the skateboard grew to the size of a surfboard, so that the person riding it could cover far more territory, be far more stable on it, and travel further. But as I watched, instead of new wheels coming on the skateboard, the brackets where the wheels would be turned in to eagle talons, to eagle feet, so that as the board is turned over, you have the ability, A, to take care of the predators that come against you, and you have the ability to grab the prey that you seek. So the Lord is providing the ability to deal with both things that come against you and things that you desire in the spirit. I saw another picture. If you went into a department store in the men's section, you would see a table, and it would have a bunch of nice shirts folded on it, and the shirts would all have little ties. You probably can kind of picture that in your mind. What I saw was that the ties had nice little ties on them. And as I felt impressed of the Lord to watch, I noticed that the tie clips all turned into crowns. And each crown had different color stones in them, such that whatever man put on that tie and put that clip on, the colors of the stones represented the personal graces and anointing that that person carried. And then as I watched, I saw in the spirit, it was like the tie came off the shirt and the tie curved out and it became the front part of a bow, as in a bow and arrow. And what I understood from the Lord was that the Lord has given us, and really this applies to men and women, it just happened to be a tie in the image, but that the Lord has given each person graces and anointings and strengths that they carry with them, particularly into your workplace, particularly to where you function every day, that the Lord has given you graces and giftings and strength, and he wants you to be available to him to be like the bow, to be a source of strength, to be someone who's brave and goes forward, particularly in our current environment. With all the stuff that we're hearing in the news, there's a lot of fear in the workplace. There's a lot of fear about what's happening, what's going to go on. And my sense is the Lord wants to encourage you that in your hands, with the giftings and the graces that he carries in you and wants to use you as that bow that can bring forth the presence of the Lord into situations that would otherwise be frightening.
I thought that that word was very fitting for what we heard this morning, so I asked Louise to share it at the end. God has given us the graces we, through the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, can apply the truth of God in our environment. We can walk from here out there, not in our own strength to apply, but it is in His empowerment we will apply His truth to the marketplace environment, and we're going to see transformation happening. And so for those of you that this morning want to respond to the word that we heard and to the encouragement through the prophetic words as well, I'm just going to open the altars for a little bit. And you can come and seek a commitment to the Lord that the application of His word will be done through a supernatural empowerment that He is doing in your life. And then, again, don't forget that we are all invited to go downstairs and support the youth. For those of you that are first-time visitors, I will be meeting you in the hospitality room as soon as we conclude it. So in the next couple of minutes, I'll just give you the opportunity to either come to the altar or pray quietly. And so we're going to have a little bit of time to internalize and make a commitment to the Lord before we dismiss.
Just a couple of quick things. Those of you who are participating in the orientation course, you have head-of-the-line privileges this day, and I'll meet you in room 5 downstairs, and people will help you get there. Secondly, I have the pulpit 2 weeks from today, and I will be ministering on finances, fear, and faith. I want to try to bring some perspective to what we're entering, and I encourage you to encourage others to be here for a word of clarity 2 weeks from today. Next week is Encounter Sunday. It's probably a good day for you to show up as well. All right?
Take advantage of the altar at this time.